Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
Ridley, the running back, takes the handoff through a hole on the 30-yard line at the 25, inside the 25, 20, 15 to the 10, to the 5, and he's in! Touchdown, rookie Stephen Ridley!
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
The Lions' mistake of the week is absolutely this game. The Patriots should be favored by 8.5 or 9 in this game, in my opinion. You are getting a bargain at this pick at -4. The Patriots are going to win this game, and they're going to win it handily.
Yep. Well, I tried to warn you. Not you, the good fans, listeners to the Patriots.com. I tried to warn the national media, and I sit here, and it just fascinates me week after week to listen to the overall stupidity that goes on between some of these, all these shows. The real number that you, the number that stood out, and should have stood out, like I said all last week, was about how this team does not lose back-to-back games. They were 25-2 going into the game in that situation on Sunday. They are now 26-2. I told you it didn't matter what hostile environment they went in because I've seen it before. They usually dismantle teams. Not that this was a complete dismantling, but this game could have easily been 38-13. Ended up being a little close with garbage crap at the end, which was annoying. I know that garbage touchdown the Raiders got in the end was freaking annoying as hell, believe me. But the bottom line is this team went in, got another double-digit win, on the road in an alleged hostile environment, and is now 3-1. And I just don't understand. I don't know how much research some of these guys do, but that, I mean, how you don't take into consideration, Chris Berman was actually the only one, he and Chris Carter, but Berman was the only one that actually said it about the Patriots not losing back-to-back games. And I'm watching CBS on Sunday, NFL Today, and I'm listening to Cowher, Marino, Shannon Sharpe, which I really don't care what comes out of Shannon Sharpe's mouth, but and Boomer Esiason, who I have a lot of respect for. And they all pick the Raiders as their upset game. And it just baffles me, the reasoning behind it. Anybody who saw it, I tried to point this out last week. If you watched the tape and watched the game of the Raiders-Jets game and thought the Raiders played like really well in that game, you're crazy. They didn't. They're not that good. They've made a couple of strides here. The Raiders are not that good. They're not. They're okay. They'll be what they were last year, probably around 8-8, 7-9, 8-8. I just don't see them going on any kind of a run. They don't have it. I also said last week. I said I promised you that McFadden wouldn't come close to his average. He didn't. Okay. 75 yards he gets. Okay, he got 41 of those on one play. So even though the overall average might look good because he had 14 total carries for 75 yards, he went 13 for 34 after that. 2.6. Because the Patriots, that's what their focus was. Let Campbell try to beat you. He wasn't going to do it. He couldn't do it. I know at times there were more than several occasions where the Patriots defense is frustrating to watch and corners and all that stuff, and they gave up a couple of big plays. And believe me, I understand that. We all know it's still a work in progress. But the overall theme, the defense also, again, as usual, as I've said, came up with some big plays, and that's what they do. Vince Wilfork, the, you know, most beautiful human being on the planet, comes up with another great interception. And he's becoming a household name, if he's not already. I'm talking about nationally. And then Campbell, of course, whatever, he saw some phantom Raiders in the end zone and threw that pick right to Chung. But I just don't understand where some of these national analysts are coming from, what their thinking is, and that's why I say a lot of it to me is just going to be flat-out biases or laziness and preparation for these games. You could not have possibly, and I don't know how much Tate Marino watches or James Brown or, you know, I think Boomer probably watches more than any of them. Shannon Sharpe. I don't know. All I'm telling you is if you watched the Jets Raider game last week, to me anyway, it was quite obvious that the Raiders just weren't as good as everybody was making them out to be. The Jets were awful in the big portions of that game, even though they jumped out to a 10-0 lead. I told you, I mean, you know, Cromartie, they handed the Raiders 14 points in that game with turnovers. Won a bad one on the Cromartie kickoff a couple weeks ago. I just don't think these guys watch enough games. I don't think a lot of people watch enough games overall. I don't. God bless you. I hope most of you are watching the Red Zone channel. But I'll tell you, I mean, you look at the games and the scores from this weekend, and you see some of these defenses that are, these teams that are leading by 2 and 3 touchdowns and can't hold on. Tony Romo sucked again. I mean, that is beyond those interceptions. I mean, you can try to sugarcoat it in Dallas all you want about the offensive line do this and receivers ran the wrong route. Those were awful throws by Tony Romo. I mean, awful. Terrible. Eagles having problems. You know, it is unbelievable in the league. So if you think, you know, you want to, you know, crap all over the Patriots defense here and there, you know, go ahead. Look at the rest of these teams. You think Baltimore looked as good as Mark Sanchez sucked. If you, I'm reading something today. I forget where it was about that Sanchez is having a, you know, pretty good season. No, he's not. Not by the, he's taking a step back. There's no doubt about it. I've seen every one of his games this year. He has taken a step back, and despite that debacle against Jacksonville, the score was a lot, you know, he wasn't good in that game either. He wasn't good against the Cowboys. He wasn't great. He was okay. Like I said last week, he had some pretty good throws in the Raider game, and he also had some disastrous ones. And he was a god awful on Sunday night. Awful. And I know people think, well, the Baltimore Ravens and their stout defense, everything else. Are you kidding me? Well, they fumbled 3 snaps, lost 2 of them, you know, pick 6s, horrible throws, absolutely horrible throws by him. You know, was it the Baltimore defense that made him do that? Or was it just, I think Mark Sanchez has taken a step back. I think the Jets have taken a step back. But getting back to my original point, which is I don't know what games some of these people are watching. I really don't. I mean, Tom Jackson, I think, summed it up. He just kind of threw his hands up on Sunday night doing the blints. It's kind of like, I give up trying to figure out defense. You know why? Because everybody is going through the same thing. Sports is cyclical, and right now, it is offensive football. And I keep saying it, I'm going to drill it into your guys' heads and everybody else who's going to be listening to me about it. Forget about the 85 Bears. Forget about everything you've been taught to believe. If I hear defenses win championships one more time, I'm going to puke. No, teams win championships, okay? And now what you're going to get this week as well, the other thing you're going to hear the buzzword this week is balanced attack, balanced attack, balanced attack. And I do think because it's the Jets and it's this week against this particular team, mind you, I do think it will be more of a balanced attack. But if you've seen film and you've seen these other teams play in the pat in Miami, Buffalo, you understand why they were going to throw the ball a lot in those couple of games against San Diego. Same thing. There are reasons for it. Not because they're going to have all this struggling difficulty, because they game plan was that was going to be the best way for them to win that particular game was throw the ball a lot. Sunday, a different story. 30 rushes, 30 passes. And I think you're going to see more of the same against the Jets this Sunday. Now, that does not mean against Dallas the following week that the game plan is going to be the same. And this is where a lot of you last week, and I'm going to bring up the Raider-Jet game again because I can't believe all the personal emails I got and this, that, and the other thing, and they all started with basically the same premise. How can the Patriots stop McFadden if the Jets can't stop him? And every single week, I keep trying to tell you people, you cannot lump trends in, like these kind of trends in, with not just the Patriots, any team. The NFL doesn't work that way. Does anybody really think the Cincinnati Bengals are better than the Patriots because they beat the Bills and the Patriots couldn't? No. I brought up Kansas City 2 weeks ago. They played the Chargers tough, a 15.5-point underdog, lost by three. But no, but they had given up 41 points the previous 2 weeks. Every game is different. Every game plan is different for these teams. It's not, if you're trying to figure out trends, especially this year, forget about it. The trend you should be looking at, the one that's important, is the one I kept stressing last week. 25-2, damn it, after a loss. Now they're 26-2. And most of those wins, a lot of them, were by double digits in hostile environments. That, to me, is something I look at. That's character. That's your New England Patriots. They were pissed off as all hell, and I know there's still defensive flaws. We all know that. I get it. We all know it. And you can talk about the secondary from now until hell freezes over. I don't give a damn. I'm telling you, as long as that quarterback is in there and the way this offense, even without Hernandez, is able to function, and now with an added running game, not that they didn't have one before, they just, the situation really didn't call for it. You know they can run the ball. You look at the Jets, look at Mangold out for the Jets. They couldn't do anything right. They were wiping their butts on the field, the Jets were. They looked like a pathetic, pathetic team on Sunday night. The Patriots put Conley in, and they don't miss a beat when Copeland goes out. I mean, that's why coaching is so important. That's why, you know, I bring up Indianapolis. I brought it up to John on the crossover. Do you realize what Bill Belichick did with Matt Castle when he was here? Kind of a slow start, brought him along slow, and then boom, how good he was the last five games of the season. Now, do you see what coaching means? Why Indianapolis is 0-4? They stink. What does that tell you? The Patriots lost their best player and went 11-5. Should have made the playoffs, wasn't for stupid Brett Favre not being able to get a first down against Miami. 11-5. The Colts will be lucky to win two games the way they're going. Coaching is so much in this league. Character on these teams is so much. Patriots have it. A lot of other people can't. I told you about the Jets. They are not talented enough to overcome mediocre to piss poor play by Sanchez. Not by the longest of yards. They're just not. Maybe, hopefully, some of you, I'm going to read some of the, I posted a little thing at halftime of the Patriots game on Facebook, just for this show specifically. And I don't know if people were drunk or whatever, but the responses, many of them, absolutely hysterical. Hysterical. And I understand passion, and I appreciate all the response and all that stuff. But it's some people just, all I said, it's unbelievable. It's like strictly pass or fail. It doesn't work that way. People got caught up last week because McFadden ran like crazy through the Jets, and people were wondering how the hell the Patriots are going to stop him. Well, guess what? With the exception of one play, they held him to 2.6 yards per carry on 13 carries. He got one for 41 yards. The rest, they got 34. So you want to rip the D? I mean, you got to give them some props for that. They came with a couple of big plays. Yes, frustrating at times. Arrington got burned a couple of times. I mean, they didn't have Bodden. They didn't have Rozay Dowling. You know, I thought McCourty was better. Certainly helps having Chung out there. There's no question about it. Sergio Brown, I'm a little disappointed in Sergio Brown. He's going to step up his game. But again, it's a very small sampling here at four games. Very small sampling. I just think people have got to get a grip and realize what the hell is going on in this league. This is a passing league now. It is an offensive league. And it is going to be very difficult for defenses to give up less than three touchdowns a game and close to 300 yards a game, a little over that. I know the Patriots were over that, but they gave up, you know, 100 yards practically in the last drive on garbage time, even though it was frustrating as hell to watch. It was garbage time. And you know, it does aggravate me when they give up those kind of yards in garbage time. Because if you saw Football Life with Belichick, especially part two, there was a scene in there against Jacksonville. They had a chance for a shutout. And they were up 28-0 or whatever it was, 35-0, I forget. And guys were dancing around and everything. This was from 2009. And Jacksonville scored a touchdown with, like, you know, 10 seconds to go. And Belichick was livid. absolutely livid, and rightly so, screaming at them about playing defense for 60 minutes and guys hanging around and all that stuff. Now, I'm not saying in that play, that one bomb, that 51-yard bomb, I think it was Arrington and Brown that were on coverage there. That led to that big pass play. But you can say, you know, they took bad routes to the ball, whatever. I mean, that kind of stuff has to be correct. You know, that kind of stuff has to be corrected. But it didn't happen at any key point in the game, which is big. It happened in garbage time when they were down by double digits. And like I said, that game could have been 38-13, one play. It ended up being, you know, 31-19, which is fine. I'll take a 12-point win on the road any day. Not surprised at all how the game turned out. Not one bit. I thought they'd score 40, but that wasn't the case. Certainly great things to see. Great to see Ridley doing what he did. And the law firm had a nice game. Danny got hurt in the second quarter. Woodhead didn't return. We'll get the injury report tomorrow. Yeah, they caught a break. Jacoby Ford and Arrington got tangled up. That was a bad call. I don't know what Tony Correnti was thinking, the ref, but whatever. So we'll take it. I mean, look, that kind of stuff to me, that stuff evens out. Certainly, you saw Sergio Brown get screwed in the Buffalo game. So there you have it. There you have it. So that kind of stuff completely evens out. But now points allowed so far this year, the Patriots 98, Bills 96, Jets 95. So for all everybody bitching and moaning and complaining and all that stuff, I understand it's frustrating at times, but the Jets have allowed just three less points. Okay? And I think that team is in serious trouble. Yeah, I know the hype this week will be it's the Jets and the Patriots is here, and he'll try to get them motivated, all this stuff. But they have a lot. The Jets have a ways to go there. I think they've taken a total step back. They don't run the ball nearly as well as they did. Sean Green's having a lousy year so far, or a very mediocre year. I won't say lousy. Sanchez is having a mediocre year. I think he's having a bad year so far. And they're very lucky they're not 1-3. They really should be. Romo handed them that game. Handed it to them. So I think overall, as a Patriot fan, I think you gotta be generally pleased. I'm sorry. You look at, if you watch some of these other games, I mean, you know, the nightmare team in Philadelphia, I mean, what a crock. I told you it was going to be a crock with them anyway. What frauds they were because that offensive line was so bad. And the other teams, I'm just telling you, teams like the Raiders and the Bills, it's going to catch up with them. I've seen that act before. I've seen it before. Teams go 5-0, 6-0, and miss the playoffs. And again, it's we don't really know, as I've always said, about any team until week 8 or 9 or 10. But I just have a feeling in week 8, 9, and 10, we're going to be talking about the Bills and Raiders at around 500 and not a serious threat anymore. I could be dead wrong, but I don't think so. I just know this. I think the Bills can do better than the Raiders. The Raiders to me are mediocre at best. Their secondary is awful. And how about Richard Seymour? I mean, my goodness. As a seasoned veteran.
You reach Richard Seymour fan hotline.
Yeah, you have reached Richard Seymour. I am too jacked and pumped to play this game. To get two personal foul penalties right in a row. Horrible. Horrible. In those situations. And then I didn't hear the whistle. I didn't hear the whistle. Nice try, Richard. Very nice try. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're doing this live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Email me at webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Special treat coming up tomorrow at 5 o'clock. One of my guests will be Charlie Casserly from CBS.
You just called me back, Pete, and he told me to tweet it out to promote it, so I did.
I'll definitely tweet it after as well.
Yeah.
Because you know Charlie in NFL Today.
And Charlie's a good man.
He is a good man. I don't know if Bill Belichick thinks so, but they've had their differences over the years, and I'll be honest with you, I You know, a couple of things Charlie has said in the past, going back to, I think it was 09 and 06, said a couple of nasty things and some things that I didn't think were true, and depending on which side you want to believe. But overall, I think he does a great job on CBS, on channel, you know, you see it locally in Boston anywhere on Channel 4. And look, guy's got tons of GM experience, 16 years with Washington and Houston, does, you know, teams have won championships. So, he's very knowledgeable, and we'll get his thoughts on, you know, the Patriots, Jets, and the entire league as well. He's somebody that I'm not going to sit there and, like, break down a particular Patriot game. I want to get his thoughts on certainly some aspects of the Patriot-Jet game, but also on the status of the NFL, what he thinks about the defenses, things like that, what's going on with some of the team's attitudes. And you know, teams I think that are in trouble, Philadelphia and the Jets, I think are in serious trouble. I think Dallas is in trouble. I just can't believe Tony Romo threw those passes that were just absolutely pathetic. Pathetic interceptions. I mean, this Brady throwing four picks, and you know, two of them get deflected. Maybe Ocho Cinco doesn't run the route he was supposed to run. I understand. And then one bad throw. But, you know, those are, they're a lot different than watching Romo throw just horrible, horrible picks. But I think overall, if you're a Patriots fan, you got to be happy. They're 3-1, tied again with the division with Buffalo. Yeah, Buffalo technically has a tiebreaker now because they beat them, but it's only week four. We're a quarter way into the season. Really haven't learned a whole heck of a lot. We know the Patriots have an awesome offense. We know that. And the defense that, you know, certainly run defense was, I thought, pretty good, even though, you know, the Raiders averaged 5.9. But still, overall, they made plays when they had to. The Patriots running game is scary. It's got to be scary to other teams if they can continue to have this kind of a balanced attack, because it's just going to be. And again, I don't expect it every week. This was a particular week that they saw in the game plan that they could do what they did. If they thought, if you ask Belichick, he's going to tell you the game plan was much different for the Raiders than it was for Buffalo and Miami, just because of the matchups. It will always be that way. That's why you can't get caught up with things like McFadden running through the Jets. So if he's running through the Jets for 180 yards, then the Patriots are going to give up 250. It doesn't work that way. I don't know why some people don't get that. All these years of watching football, why did we just have to be such extremists one way or the other? Every single game is different. Every one. Every single one. So your thoughts on the Patriots and the Raiders and the victory in Oakland and the game coming up against the Jets. We'll touch a lot more on that tomorrow. But your reaction, you know, likes, dislikes, what you saw. Certainly I welcome everybody's opinion. It doesn't matter because it's all good. I just love the passion. Email me at webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We're broadcasting live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Also, you can Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Just post something right to my wall. Don't send me any personal messages because I'd rather just have them right on the wall for all to see. I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, write to your emails and phone calls and whatever else, and more gloating by me, I can tell you that. Coming up here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights, all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pat's interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Oh, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. Autotrader.com. Now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It'll be a little bit of a shootout, but you know, at the moment, the Raiders can't hold anybody to under 400 yards. And so with that in mind, I think that it'll probably be very similar to maybe not as high scoring as the Oakland-Buffalo game, but I think, you know, probably in that 31-20 type of game.
Great job, John Clayton. Almost nailed that one almost perfectly, and I thought it would be a double-digit win by the Patriots as well. I just thought that both teams would score a little bit more. I said 44-24, but 31-19 is fine. John Clayton of ESPN said 31-20, and he was right on with that prediction. It's a Pete Shepard Show. We're here until 6, live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And let's head to our first email of the day. Hello, Pete and Kev. This is from Chad. Pete, I think the Patriots' defense are the reason why the world economy is bad and people are starving of hunger. No, just... But a bump, try the video. He'll be here all week. No, just kidding. Sorry I'm a bit long. Pats handled that game quite nicely. If you don't count the Raiders' last touchdown, you limit McFadden to a reasonable game, and that means Jason, the disgusting first-round bust, Campbell, will throw the ball. That's what happened. Unfortunately, people are alienated by the TV and the media corps, so when Mickey Mouse decides that the Patriots' defense composed of all-pro players, Mayo, Wilfork, and McCourty sucks, people believe they suck. Not mentioning Chung, Warren, Ninkovich. Basically, the media are saying the Seahawks defense are better than the Patriots. Man, is this for real? And the offense looked like they weren't even trying. Raiders had the brilliant idea to cover Gronk and let Welker run his little routes man-free. The Raiders committed 9 penalties for 85 yards, the Patriots 5 penalties for 45 yards. The Patriots had three offensive penalties and two defensive penalties. Both drives that the Patriots committed defensive penalties resulted in interceptions, and two of the three drives that the Patriots committed offensive penalties resulted in touchdowns. 99 of Jason Campbell's 344 yards came on the Raiders' final drive, as I said earlier, and another 55 came off swing passes or dump offs to running backs covered by linebackers. The Patriots O-line is the best at pass blocking right now and ninth at run blocking with undrafted free agent running backs. Cheers, man. And the Patriots' O-line numbers regarding run blocking will improve as well. I promise you that, because the running game, for the most part, they just haven't had to run the ball that much. Tim in Baltimore says, "Hey, Pete, I just wanted to let you know that you're right about Darren McFadden's rushing average. I just did the math. He averaged 5.4 yards per carry, but when you calculate the geometric mean, which I found to be the proper statistics to when calculating football stats, he only averaged 2.7 yards per carry. That 40-yard run really skewed his average, so the Pats D did okay by my calculations." Well, I know, Tim, I actually did the same thing. It's kind of easy to divide 75 yards. You know, after 41, there's 34 left. Divided by 13, it comes out to, 2.67 or 2.7, if it carried over. So, yes. And thank you for the email very much. Appreciate it. But this is why numbers can get skewed that way. You know, it makes the Raiders' rushing average look a hell of a lot better as a team than it was. I look at the overall number, which is from McFadden. You can't take away that one run. But, you know what? I'll settle to hold him. First of all, held him basically like 100 yards under his average, right? What was he average? 150 or half his average. I think he was averaging 153 going into that game. Maybe a little more. I thought it was 175 or something like that, but I could be wrong. But regardless, it was at least held to under half of what he's normally averaging. And for the most part, he didn't even average 3 yards a carry. So I think you have to look at those numbers too. And I don't know why people don't. All you're going to hear about next week is the Patriots' net yardage again. That's what you're going to hear. Because people don't do enough research. They're lazy. Or they just want to ignore it. You got to factor in the whole package. So you want to rip the secondary at times? Sure, I agree with you. The Arrington, Sergio Brown stuff, I agree, at times was ridiculous. A couple times Boss was wide open. Ridiculous. But, again, they held them to 13 points basically to the final, garbage touchdown drive. And they hung in there. And really, they just outclassed the Raiders, as I knew they would. This team does not lose back-to-back games. It just doesn't happen. 26-2 under the Belichick era. Those are the kind of numbers that should be looked at by a lot of analysts. And unfortunately, only a couple did. Berman was one, and Chris Carter actually said it. And I know a couple of guys on CBS mentioned it on and Fox as well on Sunday. But it was always kind of like dismissive. The Patriots don't lose back-to-back games, but the Raiders are this. I don't understand how if you watch the Raider-Jet game in any way, shape, or form, that you would think the Raiders are that special. How can you? Everybody saw them, or most of you did, I'm sure, the opening night game against Denver. They were pathetic. They were handed that game, 23-20. Handed that game. William says, I hope Ridley on Facebook, William says, I hope Ridley gets 100 yards on Sunday so we can say, riddle me this, footman. What team allows a 100-yard rusher to a passing team? That's fine. A couple of other, George says, Pete, you need a Sunday night, Monday night show. I have nothing to listen to on my iPhone on my drive home Monday night. Well, hey, I'm available. Let me see some of the other posts from earlier today when I posted about the show. Barbara says, Rex Ryan has been relatively quiet so far. What do you attribute this to? Of course, I respond, well, all the crow he's been eating thus far about the Super Bowl contending team. If not for Tony Romo handing him the first game, he'd be 1-3, or instead of his own foot stuck in his mouth, maybe it's his wife's. That was my response. Ba-dum-bump. Of course. Steve says, I doubt he'll ever eat enough crow to shut him up. Too big a mouth for that. Here's the Pats serving him some more this weekend. Go Pats. Ema says, people harp on Belichick for a lot of things lately, but when you look at what is going on with the Colts after they lost Manning, when Brady went down, Bill somehow made Matt Castle into a decent starting quarterback, and Colts had several weeks to prepare for life without Manning when the Pats only had a week. No, that's a great point. I brought it up. It's an excellent point. You know, it's another thing that should, you know, the light bulb should come on if it hasn't already. Michael, my big Packer friend. Pete, they're nice and quiet in Packer land. Did you see the spread for the Falcons this weekend? A little high. I know Rodgers has beaten the crap out of them last time, but yeah, I think the Packers are favored by 5.5 on the road for that Sunday night game coming up. Should be an interesting game. Falcons are a tough team to figure out. They're another there's another one. Allegedly a team with have a pretty good defense. You let the freaking Seattle Seahawks come back on you? Seattle scores 28 points. I know Seattle's at home. Seattle's awful. Seattle might be the worst team in the NFL. Yeah, Indianapolis might be right now, but I still think overall Indianapolis has some players still. Seattle might be the worst team. And I, you know, the Falcons, again, letting the Seahawks come back. I mean, there's not three offensive players anybody can name on Seattle. So that's, you know, but the Falcons are at home. We saw how tough they played against Philadelphia when they were down a couple weeks ago. And all I know is, Michael, in that game, I think it'll be a pretty high-scoring game, you know. Packers are playing well right now. Well, they have, you know, they have been. They've had their defensive issues as well, as you well know, and a lot of people know as well. It's not like the Packers are shutting anybody down either. You know, Kyle Orton, you know, had his picks as usual, but he had some yards against them. But I don't care. They're playing. They're 4-0. They're defending Super Bowl champions, and they have a great offense. As the Patriots has a great offense. So hopefully the two teams will meet in the Super Bowl. I still pick New Orleans back, you know, from before the season started, so I got to stick with that at least. But it certainly was, to me, almost a coin flip. I just had a feeling about New Orleans this year, but we shall see. And then I had I'll read some of the quotes from afterwards from when I posted on Sunday. They're just absolutely hysterical. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Here's one from Mean Gene in Daytona. Hi, Pete and Kevin. I love what I saw from Brandon Spikes on Sunday. He looked like the guy we had here in Florida, a guy in the field looking for someone to hit. When at Florida, he gave Florida's defense a nastiness that I was hoping he would bring to New England. And now that Gerard Mayo is gone, down, I think he is ready to stamp that nastiness identity on our defense. And I'll address that paragraph first. I agree. And I've read a few things here and there, too, as well, that people don't seem to think that Brandon Spikes had a decent game. I thought Brandon Spikes had his best game of the year. Best game of the year. Let me just finish this email, then I'll get to the phone for a second. I saw him in Sunday's game make some big hits, and that fired up the whole defense. I think I even saw Brandon looking for McFadden before the game started and wanted to hit him. I've always loved this guy's intensity and have no problems with our defense. I believe maybe we have someone on defense now that can complement Tom's intensity on offense. Well, to say you don't have problems with defense would be a massive stretch because they have issues, but so does everybody else. As far as our defense, all I care about is red zone defense. Nothing else really matters on defense. By the way, they were much better this week, only 40%, only 2 of 5. For the Raiders. I thought the object of the game is to score points, not accumulate yardage on time-consuming drives. Defensive ranking should be based on scoring differential. That, to me, is a more important way of ranking a team defense. I agree. I did predict the Pats would win and loss by Buffalo, Miami, and the Jets. The only thing I've gotten wrong was Tony Sparano's release after the loss before the bye week. But I did hear this morning Tony get the dreaded vote of confidence today from the owner, so maybe I could be right on this, too. Well, I said at the beginning of the season, and I looked at the schedule, and I thought it was a good chance that Miami would start off 0-4. If they don't win next week, I think Tony's going to be gone at 0-5. Let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And here's Eddie in Florida. Hi, Eddie. You're up here on the Pete Shepherd Show. What's up, my man?
Yeah, how you doing, Pete?
Good. What's happening?
Just like one of the guys said in the emails, if it wasn't for the Jets, for Tony Romo giving up the game to the Cowboys, the Jets would have... They haven't done well against a good team so far this year.
No, I mean, I brought that up right at the beginning of the show. I mean, Tony Romo handed that game to the Jets. It was awful.
I've been watching the game. They can't stop the tight end. The tight end, you see, if it wasn't for Dixon dropping a couple of balls, Dixon would have had easily over 100 yards.
Easily.
Hopefully. Do you think Aaron Hernandez is going to be back?
No. I don't. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the timeline for him is anywhere, depending on who you believe, is anywhere from the next 2 to 6 weeks. I don't know. I know, of course, things can change in a heartbeat. I'm not, you know, they don't release any of those details here. So if he practices tomorrow, that's a, you know, obviously, when he practices it on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, when I see
that's
that, then I think it'll be a good chance. But until I see it, I have a feeling it's going to be still a couple of weeks, but, you know, you never know. I just don't.
Because if we had Aaron and Gronkowski with the two tight end shit, with the two tight end snaps, that'd be mm-hmm. beautiful against the Jets because that'd be a mismatch right there.
Well, I think the Jets are going to have their hands full anyway for a lot of different reasons, and especially because I believe the Patriots will be able to run the ball against this particular team again, like they did against the Raiders. So it's a double whammy for the Jets. They're coming off. They're going to play their third straight road game. And to play New England in this spot for them is a bad situation. They're nine and a half point underdogs. Yeah. 9.5. And that line's going to go to 10.
I don't pay attention to the point, to the underdog system, but what I look at is their defensive line doesn't look as potent as it did last year, first of all.
Well, that too. But their offensive line has been abysmal.
And their offensive line looks soft.
Because this is the difference between like a team like the Jets and the Patriots. They lose Mangold, they're all pro center. They put Baxter in, who can't snap to a 12-year-old on a Pop Warner team. And then they tried Mark Slauson, the left guard, for a series or two. He couldn't get the job done, and the Patriots lose. Copey, there's Dan Copen putting Conley in. They don't miss a beat.
And it wasn't even only the center for the Jets. How many free men did we see going past the Jets' defense offensive line?
Let me tell you, it's just awful. And the fact that Sanchez is having what I think is a bad year so far. He's 6 touchdowns and 5 picks. He only completed 30%.
And fumbling the ball.
Fumbling the ball because the snap exchange and all that stuff and throwing a pick 6. I mean, he's having a bad year. And I keep telling people, the Jets are nowhere near talented enough to overcome mediocre games by Sanchez. He has to basically play great for them to win, or they're going to lose.
And another thing, this guy Sanchez, I'm watching all his games so far because my uncle's a Jet fan, and he's eyeballing receivers.
Yeah.
You don't see him eyeballing Santonio Holmes?
Yeah. I've seen every one of their games, and, they handed that game to the Raiders. I mean, that's why people got caught up in the Raiders this week and against the Jets. But the Jets had a bad miscue on special teams with Cromartie. And Sanchez, even though he had some decent throws in that game, he had some other horrible ones. But another game, they were up 10-0 in that game last week, the Jets were, and they lost.
And I hate to break it to them, they're not facing Joe Flacco. They're not facing Joe Flacco Sunday.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think the Jets are in serious. It's a real, like I thought the Raiders were in a bad spot last week. This is a bad spot for the Jets this week. Now, I'm not predicting 45-3 or anything like that because
I'm going 35-28.
Well, it could be. I'm not sure it's going to be that close.
Or maybe 21.
Yeah, I think 21 for the Jets is closer. I'm not sure the Patriots are going to give up 28 points to the Jets.
I hope not. But you never know with the defense.
No, you never know. It's going to be one of those things.
One thing I was a little proud of though, week 1 through 4, we've been getting timely stops, timely interceptions, timely fumbles on defense.
Yeah, they're a big play defense. That's what they do. That's how they counteract some of the net yard stuff that they give up.
Exactly.
that everybody hops on. And if you ask most of the ex-professional athletes, they will tell you that one of the big numbers they look at is turnover differential. And I mean, it's a huge, huge factor. It's a lot bigger factor in the NFL than ridiculous overrated net yardage numbers. Ridiculously overrated.
Well, thank you,
Eddie, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Call back soon. Appreciate it. Again, you can get in on the action here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Said back to webradio@patriots.com. Caesar in Pleasanton, California says, why are the Patriots so bad at rushing the quarterback? Well, I mean, they're trying to figure that out. I mean, they didn't have Haynesworth once again. Campbell was not sacked at all. I agree. Once they figure it out again, but you also have to look at that situation on Sunday. What they were trying to do, which was contain McFadden. And they had a bunch of linebackers out there a lot of times. I'd love to see how many times they even played a 4-3 on Sunday because they had 5 linebackers out there sometimes. Different situations. So, I mean, you gotta remember what they were trying to do, which was stop McFadden and let Campbell try to beat you through the air, which he could not do. Despite what might look like decent numbers on papers, when it really counted, he couldn't do it. Couldn't do the job. So I agree. That obviously that's something that they need to improve on. There's no question about it. And we all know that. But I thought their prime focus this week was not Campbell, was to stop McFadden. That's what they did for the most part. They held him to 2.6 yards on 13 carries. He got one 41-yard carry. Josh says, Spike's best game this year equals low bar. Well, yeah. I mean, look, he's one guy, too. He needs to step it up. And I thought I took a step in the right direction on Sunday. It's not to say he can't improve and do better, because he has to, especially with Mayo might be out now from anywhere from 1 to 5 or 6 weeks. Who knows? We won't know. But that was not good. It was scary to watch that. To see that, you know, initially, you think back to what happened to Tom back in 08. You surely don't want to see that. Especially if you're a Patriot fan. Email me, webradio, patriots.com. Call me, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. We are broadcasting live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. That is the number. I'm going to go back here. And interesting, I should have been a psychiatrist or psychologist or somebody where I get paid to watch people lie on the couch and talk to me about football. I should be a football psychiatrist. Let's see. Where's my post? This is at... Oh, okay. This is hysterical. Now, some people were saying at some point... Matt says, and I'll just give you... This came on Sunday at 7:03. Defenses, no, remember, the game isn't over yet. Defenses looked a lot better in the second half today. Best they've looked so far this year. Chris says, Pete, no sacks in 2 weeks is god-awful. Sacks are the most overrated stat besides net yards in football. But, yeah, it would be nice if they got one. But, again, that was not the game plan, was to go after Campbell. It was to stop McFadden. Matt says, agree, but overall I think the defense looked pretty good today. A couple of turnovers on rush plays, which came from the pass rush. Okay. And then they go back. This is at 6:22 on Sunday night. This is Jay says, Pete, this defense is horrendous. Fitzpatrick, Henny, and Campbell all suck, and they all look like Manning against this D. Where are Cunningham and Spikes? Again, that's at 6:22. Jacob, with some logical reasoning during the game, says Pete, correct me if I'm wrong, but this terrible defense of ours has held Oakland to 13 points. It's almost the fourth quarter. Tired of all these fans who are quick to judge spoiled brats. I think that's a lot of it. A lot of it. I'll get back to Facebook in a second, because some of these, I got 58 responses from this halftime post that I put up there. And I did it specifically to read on this show because I thought it'd be kind of funny. And let me just get back to webradiopatriots.com. John in South Carolina says, hey, guys, look, I think our offense is great, but I see Brady picking himself off the ground a lot during these games. We have not played the greatest defenses, so I am worried about our offensive line when we hit the Ravens or Steelers. I would say the Jets, but then Kevin might play that annoying Jets drop in again. No. John, do not take this the wrong way, my friend. I don't know how you can possibly say anything really that badly about the offensive line. They probably are certainly the best pass blocking line in football. They've done a really good job run blocking as well. So I'm not sure the offensive line has any problems at all. You lost Cope, and Conley's been in there. He's been terrific. And I don't know about Brady picking himself off the ground, because he has been sacked a lot in these games. I'm certainly not worried about the Steelers and their defense. The Patriots have pretty much had their way with the Steelers over the years. So I'm not worried about them either. And the Ravens, look, don't get caught up in that. I mean, look, the Ravens, you know, had all those pick sixes on Sunday. But don't remember the offense that they were going against, okay? That was a horrible Jets offense. It's the same thing I'm telling you about how people got all built up about the Raiders against the Jets. It's because the Jets played poor. The Jets made two teams look real good the last 2 weeks because of their bad play. A lot of it was not forced. A lot of it was their own doing. So don't get too caught up in some of this stuff. Chris of Tennessee. Pete, what do you think of Joe Flacco? Do you think his quarterback skills are below average, average, or good? What is the status on Woodhead? I heard he was injured last week. Love the show. Keep up the good work. By the way, hate the Jets and hope we crush them this week. Well, let's address them one by one. Pete, what do you think of Joe Flacco? I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's pretty good. I think his quarterback skills are below average, average, or good. I think he's somewhere between average and good. Because he does go through phases. I mean, it's not like he was great. It's not like he put up great numbers against the Jets either. You know, he had a bad game against Tennessee. He looked great against the Steelers, but the Steelers were finding out now. I mean, the Steelers are a lost team. That's another team that's serious trouble. So two teams in Pennsylvania and one in New York or New Jersey, the Jets, they're in trouble. Those three teams are in serious trouble, in my opinion. Status on Woodhead, I don't know. He went out in the second quarter right before. You know, with that ankle injury, I don't know. Injury report comes out tomorrow. And that's it. What can I tell you? I just don't know much about the injury report until tomorrow when it comes out. You know how they are around here. Dave says in California, Pete, thank freaking goodness somebody spoke up. I live in the Bay Area and I'm surrounded by Niner and Raider fans. I try and have discussion with these fans about what the Patriots need to do to get better, and I practically get kicked out of the bar. Nobody cares to hear about what the rich do to get richer. Pats Nation is on another level than the rest of the league. We expect undefeated seasons and 50-point games. How many Pats fans out there legitimately believe that they can go out and get 30, 35 points every week, and if they don't, it's considered a bad game? I don't know. Maybe we should give in. Maybe we should fire Bill and cut Tom. There are way better options out there, aren't there? I am sick of people bitching about the poor stats and rankings. Bill's game plan was simple. Let's stop their biggest threat and take our chances with the opponent's second and third options. And on offense, take advantage of matchups, whether it's Gronk versus a linebacker or Welker versus a third and fourth DB. All that is decided irrelevant of the overall league rankings. Thanks for the real evaluation, Dave in Monterey, California. Dave, you're one of us, probably one of the best emails we've gotten all year because it's, yeah, I'm like, it's dead on, balls accurate. It's what they keep saying. There are too many there are too many people that need to govern their passions a little bit as far as evaluating their particular team. I'm not just talking about Patriot fans. Every game is different. I keep bringing up numerous examples. People want to keep thinking the NFL is about trends on a weekly basis. It's not. Very rarely. I'm not saying it doesn't happen sometimes that you can make evaluations from it, but I've just learned over the years that you screw yourself by trying to do that. You try to break down games and break down teams. Does anybody, another example, I've given you the Jets and Raiders, all that. Does anybody think the Cincinnati Bungles, those pot-smoking hippies out there, are better than the Patriots because they beat the Bills? No, but on that day, and I picked Cincinnati to win the game last week. But on that day, I just thought it was a bad spot for the Bills because I don't think the Bills are that good. And I don't think the Raiders are that good. Detroit might be. I see a lot, some things different in Detroit. Detroit might be. They might be the real deal. I'd pick them to make the playoffs this year. The Bills, they've got that act I've seen too many times before. Teams start off 3-4-5-6-0 and miss the playoffs. That's what I see. They might make some strides. Raiders, the same thing. Raiders are going to be a 500 team again. That's all. A couple times they'll look good in some games, and then they are what they are. They're not that good. They're just not. Tiff in Wisconsin. My girl in Wisconsin says, Hi, Pete. Flacco is a good quarterback? Really? When has a good QB ever had a passer rating into the 30s? Everything else you said is spot on. Well, I said, he was not good on Sunday night. I'm looking at the overall body of work that I have seen over the years, and I think he's a good quarterback. But that's, you know, I didn't say very good or obviously not great. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's a top 10 quarterback in the league. But he has had his moment. I mean, he's had a lot of, I mean, the Pittsburgh game was just, I mean, the Steelers are just awful. He had a bad game in Tennessee, which we know about. We saw. So I'm just talking about, Tiff, the overall body of work, not the last, certainly not on Sunday night, where he was not that. He was not good at all. We know that. And I would certainly welcome him. You know, the Patriots played him. He's another one of those guys the Patriots play. Won't play until the playoff time this year, if that should be the case, if Baltimore is fortunate enough to get there, which a lot of people think they're going to be in the Super Bowl. Some do. I just don't see it. I don't think he's the kind of quarterback that can take you to the Super Bowl. Could be wrong. There have been worse quarterbacks that have gone to the Super Bowl and won. But, you know, they have their problems, too. Baltimore's got their problems, too. Despite that nice win on the road, that was not a pretty game for them. One's the one for you, Kevin. It says not for the show, so I won't read it. It's from John. You can check that out. Chad says, actually, Pete, the team is fifth in the NFL with 4.8 yards per carry. The Patriots are the only team in the league that has the ability to finish a game by killing the clock with a strong running game. The guy who said Pat's O-line is horrendous is a lost case. Don't forget, Vollmer's coming back. What do you think on Namath's observations and Ryan's response? Can we have the Ryan quote, eating a bunch of bleep cheeseburgers, aired on the air, please? Yeah, I'm sure Kevin came up with that. Yeah, I mean, I think Joe Namath's
eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers.
I think Joe Namath's evaluation, and he's getting worse because he came out with more stuff this week. But he's been right on.
I want to kiss you.
He's been right
on. Thanks, Joe. Yeah. Huge compliment.
He's been right on. I mean, and, you know, Rex Ryan can sit there and deny it all he wants. And I know Joe's not in the locker room. He doesn't see the team working hard. I don't
want to kiss you.
I don't question Rex Ryan's alleged motivational techniques. But the man keeps thinking he can bite. I told you, his mouth is writing checks that his team cannot cash. And I will say it till I'm blue in the face every day. The freaking Jets are not talented enough to overcome any kind of mediocrity at quarterback. They will lose. 9 times out of 10. That guy has to be not a good quarterback. He has to be very good for them to win on this team this year. This is not the same team as last year. I said at the beginning of the season, I thought this Jet team would take a step back. Not that I'd say that they thought they'd miss the playoffs, but I think they're in serious trouble here. Now, this is a tough part of their schedule. Let's put it that way. And they don't go through another stretch of games this year, I believe, where they play back-to-back on the road. I don't think they do at all. I think it's kind of they got two home games in a row after this, and then they rotate home and away, if I remember correctly, looking at the schedule a couple hours ago. But they are not talented enough on offense to overcome a shaky start or a shaky game by their quarterback. They're just not. They're just not. Kevin says, that's the one I was not supposed to read. All right, we caught up with those. We caught up with all the emails for now. Okay. Again, email me at webradiopatriots.com. I'm going to take a quick break. You can Facebook me as well. Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Pete Shepard Show here until 6 on patriots.com.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
That's interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet, anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tie back is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now, with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights, all right from the palm of your hand.
So, what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pat's interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet, anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tie back is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Bad spot. No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They are in some serious trouble coming into this game on a third road game in a row for the Jets coming into this spot against the Patriots, which I think will have another balanced type attack game coming up on Sunday. We'll get into a lot more with the Jets tomorrow. And again, the Charlie Cashley NFL from NFL Today on CBS and the NFL Network will join me in the 5 o'clock hour, get his thoughts and insights into not only the Patriots-Jet game, but to a lot of other issues going around in the National Football League as well. He does a fine job Most of you know his experiences and the sources that he has. Before we get back, and again, email me, webradio@patriot.com, and you can also call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398, and Facebook me at Pete Shepard, P-E-T-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. So, at 5:53, and for the purposes of this show, I posted this on Sunday because I wanted some reaction. I knew I was going to read it today. At 5:53 at halftime of the game on Sunday, I post, kids, I know some of you don't watch the Red Zone, but have you seen some of these other games today? Every team has issues. Every team. Everybody chill. Pat's leading at the half. McFadden has 57 yards rushing with a big chunk of that coming on one play. Have we become that spoiled that we have to lead every game 23-3 at the half? Look at all these other games today, people. Relax, enjoy. Yes, the Pats have issues. So does every other team. And then the responses came pouring in. Again, I don't know how lubed up, as Tom would say, some of these players were, or some of these posts were, but I'll read some of them. I can't read all of them. There's a lot of them here. So,
lubricants.
I'll just read some of them. Jonathan, Pete, I get what you're saying, but I am something. The Pats cannot win a Super Bowl with this D. Could be the worst in the NFL. Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Tell me the team that has a defense, the complete team that's gonna, you know, please. You think the Ravens are gonna win the Super Bowl? Because of how they looked against the Jets? No. Joe says, runna! And Sean immediately follows up, love this Ridley kid. Marianne says, and Sean Conroy, impressive so far. Nick says, the defense we are watching right now is worse than the Pats D. I assume he meant Oakland. George says, my only problem is Brady and the injuries so far. Brady seems a little inaccurate today. Still, I gotta love our running game. Go Pats. Dave said, so glad Philly is sucking. Vic is a douche. Jerry says, how about that choker in Dallas? Romo blew that game and hard. It wasn't even funny. Bill says, true dat, Pete. Matt says, this year the NFL banned defenses from playing. The refs call tackling for Christ's sake. Sean says, so the Pats have a sack this year. No pressure at all. Joe says, Sergio Brown should be picked a different number. He's playing way too much like the last owner of that number, 31. Bad angles, little impact. And it goes on.
In the Big Bang Clock.
Marianne, Arrington sucks. Again, these are all responses to a post I put up on Sunday at halftime of the game. Greg, Green Bay definitely does not have issues. Detroit looks somewhat issue-free as well, despite always falling behind. Of course they have. They all have issues. They all have issues. Green Bay definitely does not have issues. They have issues. You get a lot of yards too, but they're a great team. Patriots are a great team. They can overcome it. You know, they can overcome it. I said, I don't expect any team, and I don't expect any defense in the league to give up like less than like 21 to 24 points a game now. I just don't expect it. And teams are getting up 2 and 3 scores every game and losing. Lots of them. Happened here once too this year. See if I can find some of the other more funny ones here. Well, you get the point. Joe says, I'm glad the Jets are getting smoked, but Sanchez sucks, and I'm starting to feel better. This is actually later on. I'm starting to feel bad for Baxter, sort of a bit. Sanchez sucks. Ray Lewis belongs in prison. Poor Baxter. Sanchez sucks. Steven says, Pat's injuries are mounting, and the D is making me nervous. I mean, it's just funny. And there's some other one. I had like 100-something messages after that post. It was just, at the time, was very funny. And like I said, William posted earlier, I hope Ridley gets 100 yards on Sunday so we can say, riddle me this, footman. What team does allow 100 yards rushing to a passing team? Email me, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Tip says, one more thing, Pete. If Sanchez played anywhere else, he would be sitting this season out with Gerard. All of the starting rookie quarterbacks are outplaying him. How much better would the Jets be if they had Cam Newton? Someone said that the New York Jets were built to win games 25 years ago. The Jets are in serious trouble. However, if my Patriots can't beat a dejected Jets and an awful quarterback and a horrible O-line, I'm done with the NFL this season. I won't be able to get over that. Tip, it'll be week 5. God forbid the unthinkable happens on Sunday. It's only week 5. Come on. Then, you know, the Patriots are going to be banged up. Mayo looks like he's probably not going to play for a while, but the Jets have banged up two at linebacker. Brian Thomas, he's out for the year with a torn Achilles. They got problems on their offensive line, and they're going to play 3 games in a row on a road. They're in some trouble this week. CJ in Tennessee says, Pete, did you see the debate on Mike and Mike this morning on whether or not Sanchez was a true franchise quarterback? Chris Carter basically said that Sanchez wasn't a franchise quarterback, and the rookies such as Cam Newton and Andy Dalton seem to have more skills. Mike Greenberg looked very dejected, which gave me a little chuckle. See, the problem with those statements are, first of all, there's been a much more sampling of Sanchez at quarterback, obviously, than Newton and Dalton. I don't know. Let's start with the initial part of it. Chris Carr is saying Sanchez wasn't a franchise quarterback. I kind of agree with that, but still a little too early. I mean, he has been to the AFC Championship game 2 years in a row. Unfortunately, one time was at the expense of the Patriots. But I don't think he's going to be a franchise quarterback. I think he's taken a step back this year so far in 4 games. I think he's taken a step back. So is the whole Jets team. But I also don't agree with Chris Carter. Again, these blanket statements the national media makes. Anointing rookies Cam Newton and Andy Dalton are franchise quarterbacks. They've only played 4 games. I don't know how you make that assessment in the NFL after 4 games. I'm sure people were saying the same thing about Tom Brady back in 01. You know, especially when they won the last 5 games of the regular season and, of course, went on to win the Super Bowl. Now, I thought Brady was going to be a franchise quarterback from the get-go. Seriously, as soon as he stepped out, the first time he stepped out on the field, saw him at practice, and in the second year, not the year he went against Detroit on Thanksgiving when they were terrible and lost and he played like 4 plays. I'm talking about later, the following season, watching him in training camp, I just had a feeling. It was only a matter of time. It was unfortunate what happened to Drew, but again, Drew was going to get benched eventually that season. If it wasn't the next week, it would have been the following week if we didn't turn it around. But it is what it is. I'm sure that in Brady's first 4 or 5 games, even after he won the Super Bowl, there were doubters out there. Remember all the crap we used to hear about Brady? He can't throw long. He can't do this. He can't do that. It was just crazy. But I think it was fair at the time, after Brady had only played 4, 5, 6 games, you know, it's fair to say you don't know what you have in them for some about declaring him a franchise quarterback. The same is true for Cam Newton and Andy Dalton. How does Chris Carter come out and say that after 4 games? Haven't you learned? You know? There are a lot of quarterbacks that have come out and look great in 3 or 4 games in their rookie year. Never to be heard from again. I'm not saying that's the case here. Cam Newton has surprised the hell out of everybody. But it's 4 games. To use the words great next to his name or franchise quarterback next to his name, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's 4 games. And this is what bothers me about national media people and some local media people. They print these broad statements, like it's automatic. Newton's a franchise quarterback. How do you know? I don't know. Franchise quarterback on a team with a losing record right now. Or are they 2-2? I forget. No, they beat Jacksonville. I mean, he's looked a lot better than I thought he would look. And he's played very well at times this year. But it's a long way to go for a rookie. It's a long way to go. So we'll just have to wait and see. Again, email me, webradio@patriots.com. webradio@patriots.com is the number. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And of course, Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. I just hope once again that those of you who watch the NFL, listen to this program. I'm trying to give you a broader insight as to what the hell is going on around the NFL and about how you need to realize how special a lot of things are going on over here, despite what you may see as, you know, they can't win a championship with defense like this. Well, this is not the defense that's going to be playing at the end of the season, number one. And number two, you got to realize, kids, you got to realize the days of those top-notch defenses are done. Sports is cyclical, and right now it is offenses in the NFL that are taking over. Another 5-10 years, it might revert back. But right now, the offenses are king in the NFL. Look at all the games. Look at all the games that people have 2 and 3 touchdowns lead. Nobody can stop anybody. Nobody. I mean, the Raiders and Ravens stopped themselves the other night. I mean, that was just like a battle of idiots going at it, one after another. One bad play after another on the offenses. That wasn't, you know. Okay, yeah, the defenses, you know, the Jets had a pick six. The Ravens had, what, 2 or 3? I lost track. Kickoff return for a touchdown, I mean, in that game as well. The offenses didn't do squat in that game. But you got to look at how bad and piss poor the offense has played. Chris of Tennessee says on the web radio at Patriots.com, completely agree about making long-term predictions based on a small sample. Pete, you would have made a good statistician. Well, I mean, I try to bring out that there. I mean, you know, numbers can lie. That's why I say I think the two most overrated things in the NFL are net yardage numbers and sacks. They just are. The Patriots were not trying to, like, bring out this all-out pressure on Campbell on Sunday. What they were trying to do was stop McFadden. That was the game plan, and they did. They held him to way under what he was averaging for the year the previous 3 games. That was their job. San Diego, stop Gates. Buffalo, well, again, 4 picks and debacle in that game. Throw that out. That ain't going to happen again this year, in my opinion. But you have to look at every game differently, as I said. Raiders and Jets, Buffalo and Cincinnati. I mean, all week long, Bills this, Bills that. I would have bet my life that they would have lost that game. I know it was close in 23-20, but that's what I expected. So now you can't get it in your heads that the Bengals are better than the Patriots because they beat the Bills and the Patriots didn't. The NFL doesn't work that way. Like I said, nor should you have thought last week McFadden was going to run for 8 miles against the Patriots because he burned the Jets so badly. The Jets put him in pretty good position a lot of times. First of all, Sanchez and special teams, you know, handed Oakland a couple of touchdowns in that game. Oakland's not that good, and neither's Buffalo. They're not. They won't be. At least that's my thinking from what I've seen so far. I always say, you know, you don't know what you have until week 9, 10, or 11. I understand that. I think we know what we have in this Patriot offense. That's not going to change. It's going to keep getting better and better. And if they keep running the ball like they are now, and don't get caught up in it, they will this week. They'll have a more balanced attack against the Jets because of the team they are playing. And I know what Brady said on EEI today, you know, a much more balanced attack and all that stuff. I understand that. But I'm sure he'd be the first one also to tell you that against the game plan against Miami, against Buffalo, against San Diego, much different than it was against the Raiders, and it'll be different against the Jets. Because of what they think teams, what they can get yardage-wise against these teams. It's always been that way. People just get caught up in one way or the other. Let me get back to some of these emails. Hi, Pete. Everyone wants to Bill Belichick crap about Ocho and Haynesworth now. How about signing Mankins and Light? How about picking up Brian Waters? How about drafting Nate Solder and about Dan Conley stepping in without losing a beat? Why doesn't anyone talk about that, where we'd be without those guys? I think Ridley is becoming everything we expected from Lawrence Maroney, and I thought Ben Jarvis had his best game yet. Yeah, I mean, Look, I mean, you can sit there and debate draft picks till you're blue in the face. I mean, the last couple of years so far, I think the Patriots have done a great job. There are other drafts, and people forget that draft picks led to Wes Welker coming here, trades, and also Randy Moss. And, I mean, you got to look at the whole package. It's easy to crap on this, that, and the other thing. And you know, also look at, as usual, look at every other team. For God's sakes. So email me, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, Facebook me, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Well, there are a couple conference calls early today as well. I know John played Bill in his show, so we won't do use that, but we got Pepper Johnson and Billy O'Brien. We haven't heard from Pepper much. A lot of people love, I love Pepper. We'll get to Pepper Johnson's comments, his thoughts about this game coming up on Sunday with the Jets.
I'm sure you never expected that the second leading leader in interceptions would be one of your guys. Please talk about what it's been like to watch Vince continue to not only do his job every day, but then also read offenses and make the kind of plays he made like he did on Sunday.
Vince is just a great football player, and for these things to happen for him, I don't really want to speak too much on it because I don't want to jinx him. But it's not really a shocker. But I am happy for him because it so happened that he was teasing me. He was getting on me a little bit in front of the fellas earlier this year during training camp about how I stole his interception away from him a few years ago. Jarvis Green got a sack and the ball goes up in the air, and Vince had a interception in the record books, but you know, reviewing the play, it was ruled a sack, caused fumble, so Vince didn't get his interception. So I guess he's rubbing it in my face now. Now he has two.
You worried you're gonna lose the side of the ball?
No way.
Pepper, what if he thought of the, through four games with running a lot of four-man fronts, what if he thought of the play of the line in general? Has it been what you had hoped thus far?
Yes, and some. We're getting a lot of, good plays and a lot of productive plays from some guys that, you know, playing some techniques and doing some things that they're not normally used to doing or accustomed to doing. It's kind of hard teaching some old dogs new tricks, but we have some guys that buying into the system and working at it, working hard to try to do some of the things that, you know, we ask them to do.
What about Sean Ellis in particular? How have you liked what he's done so far?
Sean is a trooper. I mean, he is a guy that right when you think right when I want to scream at him for a play, he comes back and he turns around and he makes a good play. So and I know he's one of those guys that I'm kind of talking about that he's working at trying to do some of the things that we ask him to do. A lot of the things that we ask him, it's kind of different from his. From his play in the past, but he's been improving.
Pepper, how frustrating is it for you not being able to kind of dial in Albert Haynesworth the past few weeks, and how frustrated do you think he is not being able to play?
Well, I can't speak for Albert, but myself, Coach Belichick would punch me in the face if I got frustrated because I didn't have a particular player. So my job is not to count on one person or something like that. My job is to coach whoever is out there on the field. Till Albert is out there on the field, this is who I have to play with. And so we have to try to win ball games without him.
Do you think we may see him this week?
I really don't know. I think that's a good question for, you know, for Coach Belichick, because I've been too busy watching film, watching the Jets.
Pepper, you make a reference to, you know, teaching old dogs new tricks. How challenging or what's this experience been like for you to work with so many guys who were in different systems before and to get them all on the same page? What's that experience been like for you?
It's been very, very, very challenging. And it's, I welcome it. I like the task of doing different things and trying different things, and I don't try to force the guys to doing things one way. You know, I understand the ball players, but having played myself and understand some of the things that they're going through. So I try my best to try to relate and get to know the person and fill them out on what will work for them, what type of player they are, and work to their strengths. So it's been challenging, but it's also been rewarding.
On kind of a random topic, if Terod Mayo is out a couple weeks, which it seems like he may be, is there anything that your guys, your defensive front can do to help kind of make up for the loss make up for the loss, I guess?
Well, I like to look at all of us as, you know, one unit, as a group, and losing such a leader like Mayo, with my past experience, normally guys put a little extra on their plate, put a little extra on their shoulders, and everybody has to take a piece of Mayo out on the field and try to perform and take some of his responsibilities. And not just try to put it into one person, but everybody just go out there and play for Gerard until we get him back on the field.
Pepper, is this we talked in the years before our previous season about pass rush and getting to the quarterback. And this season we talked about it as well. Are you satisfied with what you're going to be able to do in that respect? Would you like to see more of that? Can you assess that situation?
I'm a little more than satisfied. I'm quite sure that, you know, the question is spawned from stats and not really detail of watching the game. I'm watching our guys do what we are asking them to do. And we are actually hitting the quarterback a couple of times a little late, but we're actually hitting the quarterback. We're just not coming up with the sacks. Can we get there sooner? I don't know, to come up with the sack, but I think, I'm not much of a stat person. I just know how we have been affecting some throws, and we've been getting as much pressure as we possibly can from the situations that we are in.
We'll take a final question for Pepper.
Pepper, as your guys get more and more acclimated to these new schemes, what will that allow you to do? I mean, has it been fairly basic now compared to what it may be down the road in the season as far as the different kind of things you can do up front?
Well, I think the more they get acclimated, the more comfortable they will play. The more comfortable they're playing, more confidence. You start seeing guys playing a lot more aggressively. They can, we have a lot of playmakers. We have some guys that can make some plays. So you would see a little more of that when guys, become more accustomed to what we're doing and what we ask them to do. So, no, I'm not going to pile more on their plate. We just want them to do it more aggressively, more often, with a lot more consistency.
There it is, Patriots defensive line coach Pepper Johnson, and we might hear from Billy O'Brien a little bit later on. Going to take a quick break. Going to tell you that Hank Williams Jr. has issued an apology. I'll get into that a little bit as well, see what your thoughts are on that. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. We are broadcasting live at our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETSHEPPARD. Final segment of the Pete Shepard Show coming up here in patriots.com right after this.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pat's interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet, anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening a seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Oh, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepard.
Hey there, welcome back. Final few minutes here of the Pete Shepard Show. Final 20 minutes here on the Tuesday. We'll do this again on Wednesday and Thursday as well from 4 to 6 p.m. Thanks, everyone. As we do it live at our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Email me, webradio@patriot.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And of course, you can Facebook me as well at Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. So lots going on. The Hank Williams Jr. story, and I'm sure most of you know what happened. He issued an apology today, a day after ESPN pulled his introductory song for Monday Night Football, after the singer used an analogy involving Adolf Hitler and President Barack Obama to make a political point. Williams said in a statement posted on Facebook and his website today that said that his passion for politics and sports, quote, got the best or worst of me. Boy. In an interview Monday on Fox News, Fox and Friends, Williams prompted the set of Obama's outing on the links with House Speaker John Bono that, I quote, it'd be like Hitler playing golf with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Asked to clarify, Williams said, they're the enemy, adding that by they, he meant Obama and Vice President Joe Biden. Williams backed off today. Quote from Williams. The thought of the leaders of both parties juking and high-fiving on a golf course while so many families are struggling to get by simply made me boil over and make a dumb statement. I am very sorry if it offended anyone. ESPN pulled the song, All My Rowdy Friends, which has opened Monday Night Football for 2 decades. In a statement Monday prior to the Indianapolis-Tampa Bay game, ESPN said, quote, while Hank Williams Jr. is not an ESPN employee, we recognize that he is closely linked to our company through the open to Monday Night Football. We are extremely disappointed with his comments, and as a result, we have decided to pull the open from tonight's telecast. Williams issued a statement through his publicist on Monday night saying, in part, quote, some of us have strong opinions and are often misunderstood. My analogy was extreme, but it was to make a point. I was simply trying to explain how stupid it seemed to me, how ludicrous that pairing was. They're polar opposites, and it made no sense. They don't see eye to eye and never will. I have always respected the office of the president. Again, today he issued another statement. ESPN had no comment on whether Williams' song would be used on future telecasts. Well, any thoughts on that? You know, it just... Whenever you make an analogies and Adolf Hitler is involved, it, to me, it's just always a bad thing for the most part. When you're trying to make a point about how evil somebody else is, regardless of what your politics are, at least in this country, it's just not good, in my opinion. It's just not good. I think he made a mistake. I know freedom of speech and everything else, and I know people say, well, if he was a Democrat and said that, compared it to George W. Bush, no one would have a problem with it. And probably, you know, I don't know because it wasn't done during his presidency. Tough. You know, I think he made a mistake by saying what he said. I think he could have made the analogy in a different way. I just think it's you start using Adolf Hitler in an analogy with the president. I don't know. That's not a good idea. But let me know what you guys think. Do you think Hank, you know, you're going to miss Hank music? Do you think ESPN should put him back on or what? But they pulled him the other night. They pulled him last night. How bad was that game last night? Indianapolis and Tampa Bay. God. I mean, Tampa down. Tampa's always losing anyway.
The Colts suck.
Yeah. They're down 10-0, and, you know, they came back. My picks last week, by the way, reasonable 8-8. Far cry from the 12-4 I had the week before. But, as usual, my meat miraculous pick of the week hits again, 4-4, kids. If you parlay that from week one until week four, you are now about to, you know, put a down payment on your second home. 4-4. As I told you, the Patriots, for the first time all year, the Patriots were my miraculous lock of the week. And they were. Because they don't lose games back-to-back, hostile environments, on the road, doesn't matter. They usually win by double digits, and they did again. But we'll do my picks again on Thursday. And tomorrow, don't forget, Charlie Cashley coming up at the 5 o'clock hour of NFL Today on CBS and, of course, the NFL Network. And, yes, Charlie and Bill have clashed in the past. There is no question about it. But there are a lot of issues I want to ask Charlie about in the NFL that he's close to. He has a lot of contacts. Yeah, we'll get his thoughts on this Patriots-Jet game. By the way, you will have Sims and Nance broadcasting it. I think there's only 2 games at 4 o'clock on Sunday, or 4:15. Miami might be looking for a new coach after next week. Told you, beginning of the season, I saw that schedule. I said, they're going to be 0-4 or 0-5. It's too bad. They really had the chance to beat Cleveland. They had the chances in the San Diego game as well. But they can't get over the hump. They just can't get over the hump. Let's see. Well, there's another email up here for you, Kev. That's not going to be for me. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Patriots beat the Raiders 31-19. Somehow, they miraculously overcome what everybody thought was going to be McFadden rushing for 8,000 yards against them in this game because of what he did to the Jets. Tried to warn you. Wouldn't be that way. Tried to. Some of you listened. Great balanced attack by the Patriots for that game. I think you'll see more of the same this Sunday because that's what the Jets will allow. Doesn't mean it's going to be that way every game. Don't get caught in the trap, people. Because Buffalo lost to Cincinnati does not mean the Bengals are better than the Patriots. The NFL doesn't work that way. It's good to see Kansas City get a win. I had them, too. Even though Castle and Haley almost duked it out like three times on the sideline. What the hell is that all about? I don't know. That was very out of character for Matt. Could you imagine Matt Castle doing that to Belichick back in 08? Interesting. What's happening over there? It could be one of those things, too. Sometimes those things get overblown in the NFL. You know, you see things on the sideline, body language, guys yelling at each other. And, you know, it's just people get caught up in the moment of the game. Coaches and players, too, sometimes. So. All right, Bill O'Brien also spoke today on a conference call as well. You know, I like playing this stuff for you guys because sometimes, you know, you don't get to hear. Like, Pepper Johnson is great to hear. I mean, I wish he was on more conference calls. He's on some. But he's always very entertaining. And Billy O'Brien, offensive coordinator for the Patriots, also spoke with the media today as well. So let's hear from Patriots offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien, his thoughts about the upcoming game against the Jets.
That Tom talked about, and it was pretty obvious on Sunday, is how important it is to be balanced and what the run game can allow you guys to do. I was wondering if you could talk about what does it allow you to do when you guys are as successful as you were and running the ball.
We always try to stay balanced. Whatever our game plan personnel groupings are for that game, we'll always try to have a good mix of run and pass. And when you're able to run the ball, you're able to set up a number of different things off of that, play action being obviously one of them. But you're just able to balance up your offense and keep the defense, you know, guessing as to what you're going to do.
Was that the first game that you guys really did that successfully, would you say? This season, obviously.
Yeah, you know, it was a very balanced game for us, so it was our most balanced game.
Bill said yesterday that it was, in terms of Tom's overall play this past Sunday, he said it was probably his best game of the year, not basing it on numbers, but basing it on the reads, the decision-making process. I was wondering if you could expand on that a little bit and maybe give us an example or two of where that really came through.
When you play quarterback in this league, you know, number one, it's about the wins and the losses. So, number one, it's that your team wins. Number two, it's really good decision-making and throwing the ball accurately and not turning the ball over. And then there's other things that come into play, especially like as it related to last week, a road game. The crowd noise early, getting us in the right protection or into the right running play or whatever it may be. You know, he did a very good job of managing the game and sticking with the game plan. And he played a very solid game.
Bill, this is back-to-back weeks that we've seen Welker put up pretty big numbers. How much do you need to see the other receivers be involved? Or does Tom need to look at these guys more? Or is it just a matter of what's being presented there that Wes is getting the catches that he is?
Again, just, it's a game plan offense, and the philosophy is to take what the defense gives us. And, you know, to this point in the season, you know, Wes has had a very productive season, and there's been times when Deion's been productive, and there's been obviously times like in the two-minute drive before the end of the half on Sunday where Chad's been productive. So it's based on what the defense is making available to us, and then Tom making the proper read, which on Sunday led to, you know, a lot of catches for Wes. And this week it could be somebody else or some other people.
Hey, Bill, Wes has averaged like 8 catches a game for his career as a Patriot. And how is that? It seems like there's more, like, it's not just the defense, what they give you. It's more of you guys making sure that he's involved no matter what happens.
Yeah, I mean, again, all those guys are involved. I think as it relates to Wes, the skill set that he has allows him to get open quite a bit, and you know, his quickness, his intelligence, his hands, you know, those are some things that are really, you know, allow him to get open quite a bit. And again, but all of those guys are a part of the game plan every week.
You mentioned Chad. I think this, I may be wrong, but I thought this was the first time he's been in the two-minute offense. Is that true?
No.
Oh, is it not? Okay, well. But he was featured in the, or he was in the two-minute offense on Sunday, right?
At the end of the half when we, right.
Right. Okay. I'm wondering, when you put him in a package, you know, like that, or in a situation like that, is that something where, you know, during the week of practice, you know, you say, all right, you know, learn, focus just on this part of the offense this week so you can make sure to get this part down? Or how does it kind of manifest itself where it'll be in, you know, one kind of look or one package like that?
We require those guys to learn all the wide receiver positions so that they're interchangeable. And, you know, it's easier said than done, and that's what we ask those guys to do.
Bill, Taylor Price was active this past week. How much closer is he to finally being able to be in a situation where he can get in there and actually take snaps? And what have you seen at him practice-wise since he's been able to get back out there?
He's been out there. We'll have to see tomorrow how he's doing. Seemed like last week he was ready to go. It's probably more of a question for Bill as far as, you know, Bill's interaction with our trainer and things. So, but as far as last week's concerned, he was ready to go for the game, and so he was active.
You know, Bill, it seems my phone was beeping. It seems every week you guys will come out in the first drive or sometimes two drives and throw a lot of things at a defense just to see what they're doing, I assume, and to see how they'll respond. With the Jets this week, they always keep everyone guessing. How much figuring out what you guys do in the first drive or two drives as far as, like, who is Revis on, what kind of looks they're giving you, and kind of take me through that process a little bit.
We're putting that all together right now. We'll always be a multiple personnel grouping team. We'll go into the game with numerous personnel groupings and a lot of different ways to attack a defense. And then once you get into the game, it's a matter of adjusting to what the defense is doing and making sure that you are either sticking with the game plan or doing something that, you know, maybe they've done something different and you have to adjust to it. But we do the same thing every week as far as our the concept of multiple personnel groupings and things like that.
Bill, I know you guys are not averse to moving guys around a little bit and putting them at some, you know, different or unique positions. And we've seen Dane Fletcher at fullback and Thomas Welch on Sunday. We saw him at tight end. How have those two guys done with the transition, and what sticks out for you about the way they played there?
On game day, you know, you have 46 guys on a roster, so like Bill always says, you're trying to make use of everybody, and each guy on the team has different role, and some roles are bigger, some roles are not quite as big, but each one is hugely important. And as far as those two guys are concerned, they've both done a decent job with their role, and just like everyone else on the team, they're going to try to keep keep getting better every week and keep embracing their different roles, whatever it may be, week to week.
Bill, just going back to West for a minute, his yards per catch average is 15 yards right now, which is about 33% higher than his career average, and it seems like it's not so much he's getting those yards after the catch this year, although he is, but it seems like you're using him more downfield, and is that the case, and if so, what did you see to make you think you could go in that direction?
Wes, because of his skill set, can run a lot of different parts of the route tree, and I would say the same would be true for all of those guys, Dion, Chad, Wes, Taylor Price, you know, whether it's underneath routes, deep routes, all those guys can run the route tree, and so that's what we try to do is make sure that they're doing a lot of different parts of whatever our passing route tree is for that game.
We'll take a final question for Coach O'Brien, and then Coach Belichick will be next.
What's your view of the kind of player that Darrelle Revis is, and how much of focus will figure out what he's going to do be on Sunday?
He's a really good player. They have a lot of good players on their defense and on their team, and you know he's a guy that's playing at a very high level and has been at a high level. And like I said earlier, we're putting the game plan together right now, and we'll put it out on the field on Wednesday, first and second down tomorrow, and see how it goes, and then just keep building it as the week goes on.
All right, that's Patriots offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien today speaking with the media about the upcoming game with the Jets. Again, we'll have more on that tomorrow. 5 o'clock guest tomorrow will be Charlie Cashley of NFL on CBS and, of course, the NFL Network. We'll get into a lot of issues with Charlie about the Patriots and Jets in the 5 o'clock hour, as well as some other issues around the league. That's going to do it for a first edition of the Pete Shepherd Show. A lot of passion today, a lot of energy. Loved it. Very good. I think we have one more from Gene. Hey, Pete. NFL was the best thing that ever happened to this guy. I guess the light over his checkbook went on. To mix politics and sports was never a good idea, but he was representing himself and ESPN. He's talking about Hank Williams Jr. I do not ever want to see him again on ESPN, but of course ESPN could bring him back later when the heat goes down on this issue. But I think we as fans will be waiting. I still remember him standing behind Sarah Palin when she called Obama a terrorist before he became president. If I were ESPN, I would work out a deal with NBC to share Faith Hill. I'd rather look at her than some old bearded guy. Well, yeah, can't argue with that one. Faith Hill is a beautiful lady. That's going to do it. Thanks to Kevin Collins producing this whole thing. Back tomorrow on the Pete Shepherd Show, Patriots.com, from 4 to 6 p.m. Please join me. It's going to be great. We'll start really digging into the Patriots and the Jets and breaking down all the matchups and everything. Again, Charlie Cashley in the 5 o'clock hour. Have a great and safe rest of your Tuesday. We'll talk to you Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Patriots.com.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.